it's Dykes, it's McLaughlin! Yeah! It's the night of Scotland's dreams!
If Scotland need to call on someone, Erin Cuthbert can so often be that player.
Going all the way up, there's Kenny Dalglish making the angle for the shot! Dalglish makes it 3-1! And equals a Scottish scoring record!
Rachel, welcome to the Scotland National Team Podcast.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Recording the first one of the season here in sunny Spain. Before we go any further though, I think we should mention the fact that this podcast is to mark International Women's Day 2024. What does International Women's Day mean to you?
This is one of these questions that you always get asked at this time of year, and it's really quite hard to answer.
I'm so glad I asked you that.
Kicking off with a hard question.
It'll get easier.
I'll be honest, I don't often do anything grand to sort of celebrate it or promote it, but I do still think it is important, because I think it's just an acknowledgement that there are a lot of women who already have pushed through a lot of barriers to achieve a lot of things that have changed sort of the landscape of how opportunities can now be, and that there is a lot more equality than there was, and there's obviously still a lot more work still to do. And that's probably why it's still important to acknowledge it and make sure it's something that, you know, there is an awareness of, because I think there are still things that can be done better. Mm-hmm. And obviously, as a female, that's something that I probably feel quite passionate about.
Yeah. Do you think it's one of those things, though? I know you say you don't really mark anything grand for the day in particular, and probably more so because it's important that that's remembered every day, that what we're pushing towards for, whether it's in home life, work life, as a woman, that it's just kind of ingrained more now throughout society every day.
Yeah, I think so. And I think as well there's an element of what we do, especially within female sport, there probably is more work done on a continual basis. So it is probably something that maybe that day doesn't feel like I do anything specifically for it, but it's maybe just because I think there's a feeling of those of us that have been in the women's game for a long time have probably felt a lot of those similar battles in terms of equality and trying to, you know, pave a way for more opportunities. It's kind of been something that you're continually surrounded by, you're very aware of anyway. I think it's a really important day, but as you say, I think it's something that probably in the world we live in, we're quite aware of that more days of the year than just that one.
We got really deep really quick there.
We did.
Didn't anticipate going that deep that quickly.
Sorry. Did you want a quick answer?
We're gonna rein it back a little bit, and we're just gonna get stuck into some random questions. Just get the tempo going.
Okay, let's go.
Get your heart rate up.
Oh gosh.
I mean, I don't know if we'll do that, but okay. You know, we'll go for some random questions. So we're gonna go I'll aim for 10.
Okay.
Right, but we might end up doing more than 10. Let's just see what it takes us. Do it quickly though. I don't want you like spending loads of time. This isn't like a deep dive.
I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah. First one, what's your favourite season?
Like season of the year? Not like, season.
Kind of other season is
that? I don't know. At least I was thinking like TV series, and I was like, she said season, not series. Season. Season. I'm going to say spring.
Do you want to tell me why?
Yeah.
I know I said don't do a deep dive, but I'm actually quite interested in
tried
why.
To do quick fire, didn't give enough.
Yeah. Slow it down.
I'm saying spring because I just think that that's often winter feels, you know, especially in the UK, can feel longer than just a few months. Yeah. So I think just once you start to feel the weather change, sort of the longer days, it being a little brighter in the morning and staying a little brighter later at night, I think I enjoy that. I think the flowers are pretty. I do like summer too, because I do like the warm weather, but spring for me is just that change. I feel I really appreciate that change when it comes.
I think that's it. Like, you do feel ready for whatever season it is, just a change in it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I feel that. That wasn't very quick, but who do you text the most?
Lisa, my fiancé.
That's obvious.
Well,
I have to say that. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave that one there. How often do you floss your teeth?
genuine.
Well, you could do the dance the floss.
Okay, well, the dance the floss is a very rare occasion.
But you have done it.
I have done it.
She's done it.
It's less than annual, I'd say.
Is it good?
It's okay.
Okay, good.
Floss my teeth every day.
Do you?
Yeah, I've actually, but this isn't a quick answer again, sorry. I would say I've been very unfortunate. I blame my dad for this, and he takes responsibility, but I don't have great teeth, so mm-hmm. I've spent too many days in the dentist chair.
You look all right.
They look okay, but I've had a lot of work done. My dentist is very good. Shout out to June.
Okay, so they should look good.
Yeah.
Because they've been paid for.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what to ask you. Is your bed made just now?
Yes.
Oh, your bed made?
Absolutely, every day. Do you know what, here, though? The beds are quite big, and I literally just fold a little triangle on one side, get in. And see, when I wake up in the morning, I'd say 3/4 of the bed is still made. I just fold that one triangle back.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah, I always make my bed in the morning. Absolutely.
They're quite hard to dismantle the entire bed here.
Yeah.
All right, good job on being neat.
Yeah, no, definitely.
How do you answer the phone? Like, when you answer your phone, like, what's your answer voice? What do you say? Like, I'm phoning
in. Do you know what? In my head, this is how it goes. I'd answer the phone and be like, hello?
Hello?
But to me, it's quite like a warm hello. But I think to the person who's phoned me, I think I'm known to be quite stern on the phone.
Yeah.
A bit scary at first.
Does it depend who's phoning? And you're like, hello?
A little bit. Like, if Lisa was to phone me, I'd probably answer with something silly.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah.
All right, that's fair. Who's your favourite Disney character?
Oh gosh.
Are you a Disney person? Mm-mm. This won't work if you're not.
I'm not a Disney person.
Okay.
Disney,
like.
Like Mickey Mouse?
I guess. I mean. Like, there's a million Disney princesses, there's a million, like.
There wasn't a million when I was growing up, though.
Not a million, like maybe 500 or something. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a Beauty and the Beast girl. Pocahontas.
That's Disney, right? Pocahontas is good.
Okay.
You going with her?
Yeah.
Iconic.
There wasn't a million when I was growing up.
No, there's not
years
a million.
Ago.
That was like an over exaggeration. Definitely not a million. I'm going to ask you what's one thing or one moment you wish you'd enjoyed more? But that's quite deep.
That's deep.
We can come back to that if you want.
One moment. Mm. I'll honestly say I wish I enjoyed the World Cup more. Mm-hmm. And irrelevant of the results, I think you spend that whole time just feeling stressed out about everything and anything. And you're trying to not play the occasion and just play the games. But at the end of the day, it is the World Cup. So, you know what I mean? You do that whole psychological thing of trying to not get too high and too low, and in turn, I wish I'd. I loved it. I did enjoy it, but I think I didn't quite do it justice.
Taking it in.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've kind of learned to do more as you've grown in your career? Is just to kind of take the moments in, or do you still think you might be a little bit?
No, I'm still rubbish.
Caught up?
I'm rubbish at that. I'm always thinking about the next thing and 100 miles an hour. That's the one thing people got on at me at, just be in the moment sometimes, and I'm too busy charging about filling my day with things. But
I mean, those were, I don't even know if they were 10 questions, to be honest with you, and they weren't quick fire, but they were some questions. They weren't too fast, but I feel like it's a natural point to probably move on and like talk kind of what you were saying there about the World Cup, and a lot of the teammates that you have now, I guess, are, there's a strong core that are still here. Mm-hmm. When you come back to camp now, what is it that's so special about the players that you play with here and the relationships that you have, that when you come back to camp there's a real sense of just going way back and being really close-knit?
Yeah, I think there's a really good mix, because I mean, I think Pedro actually said in the first meeting, I think there's 12 players here who were at the World Cup. I think you said there's 12 or around that. Even the fact that Jane Ross is back in, she's someone for me who's been there from the start, even from youth national team age group. She's always been someone who I've just come all the way through with. So when you've known some of these people for more years of your life than you've not known them, then you quite naturally, you build a bond, because you've gone through so many highs and lows together. Not just Jane, there's a lot of players now, you know, that you share those moments. And I think that is what draws you together. And then I think it enables just the culture within the player environment mm-hmm. to grow. And when younger players or new players or different players come in, there's already a good group that understand mm-hmm. just the dynamics of the group, that they know that they want to make everyone feel welcome. And I don't know if that's maybe a Scottishness thing. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we talk about that humbleness of, you know, it is a huge strength of ours. Sometimes it's something that I think we can maybe go into games and give other people too much credit for, but at the same time, I think it's a big thing about being Scottish. You want everyone to make sure they're included. You want everyone to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And I think the times that we've had success, it's been because everyone's enjoyed being here and felt able to absolutely perform at their best. And mm-hmm. that's something that, you know, for the ones that have experienced it, we want to try and replicate and make that happen.
Yeah. I suppose part of that is just how important the identity is to the players of being Scottish, not losing that. And mm-hmm. I think that's a common theme you see when the players come back into camp. They feel like they're back with their friends and they can just kind of slip back into that. And I suppose that kind of breeds a really positive culture. And like you say, Jane coming back in, there's obviously players that have gone that have been really influential as well, Kim, mm-hmm. Jane, and you know, you're the one that's leading the group now. Who would you say of the players that have all come and gone has kind of been the most influential in you?
I think the one thing I've learned, I will answer that, but the one thing I've learned is you can learn from everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think it is difficult to name one person. I think naturally Kim is someone who I've become really close with. The funniest thing is we've played against each other since we were 10 or 11 mm-hmm. and it took us both to end up in Seattle, like the other side of the world, before we became really close friends. But she would be someone who I would say has probably, or I spend the most time speaking about
right.
those sorts of things. You know, we phone each other at least every week if we mm-hmm. don't see each other every week. And, you know, sometimes it's not always football things, life mm-hmm. things too, of course. But I think when you play professional sport, everything in your life all sort of impacts everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'd say Kim, but also I would say there's been so many players, club and country, that I just think, you know, you can learn from everybody and you have to also try it. You know, I think when you're an ambitious person, competitive person, you want to be the best person you can be. Mm. So I think you have to be open and willing to let yourself learn from everybody.
Do you think that being in a team, you know, in a female and a women's sport environment, that there's more of a sense of kind of togetherness and sisterhood's a bit of a cliched word, but do you think that is a big part of that team feeling and being able to back each other, believe in each other, pick each other up when you're down? Because obviously you learn a lot, whether it be win, lose or draw, you know, there's a lot of moments. How important is that kind of that bond, particularly in women's sport, when it has been not necessarily going on the same sort of levels and pathways as other games?
Yeah, I just think for me, that's not something that's needs to be, you know, gender specific. I think that's just, you know, I would imagine that, or the teams I've been in that have had the most success, we've also had that great togetherness. And I think it's one of those things that you have to do everything you can to try and make sure you create that in the teams that you're in. And I think for me, even being in teams, that's one of the best things about team sport. Mm. You get to do it with a group and sort of the powerful feeling of doing it together and that collectiveness, I think, brings that extra bit of enjoyment and feeling when you do have the success. You know, the other side of that is obviously when things don't go so well, then you've got each other to lean on, which of course is really important too. But I think in the sense of, you know, specifically to women, I think probably the one thing I would say to that is often, you know, there are probably a lot of women that have experienced times when they have felt isolated or not felt empowered. And the one thing I do think about being in women's sport and being in a team sport is you feel that empowerment, you know, consistently, whether it's your team or whether you're, you know, looking up to other teams that have had success mm-hmm. or other individuals who've done great things in, you know, different teams. I think it's a constant and continual reminder of mm-hmm. the power that has. And I think that is really important and powerful for women.
Mm. Is that a responsibility that you recognised pretty early on when you were on your journey as a footballer?
I think probably more on a subconscious level. I think I was always just some... I was probably fortunate in that I played a lot of different sports when I was younger, team and individual, both with the boys, both just girls' teams. I think that I grew up just having a very sporty and involved childhood, which I probably just loved sport and loved doing it with my friends. And I was really, I count myself as fortunate because I know a lot of people who've not had the same experience and had the same opportunity. But that was probably the one thing from a young age that I, when I look back on, I was grateful for. And yeah, probably you're a lot more naive when you're younger. You don't always think about the broader context of things, but looking back, yeah, I probably was, there probably were things that inspired me without maybe knowing.
Yeah. And I suppose as a young person as well, you kind of touched on it there, and it's not gender specific, it's just how important sport is for young people to feel part of a team, to feel part of a group, to learn in the good times and the hard times. And what I think one of the interesting things here is what you kind of take from each other in the tougher times too, and kind of the advice that you've been given. Is there anything that you can kind of think back on where you're like, that was a moment that you reflect on where you really learned about adversity?
There's probably been a good few moments of adversity. The biggest takeaway I've always had is, well, the two things I always think about is the biggest part of sport for me and where it has sat in my life, obviously now professionally, but which means sometimes you have to overlook this part because it is your job. But sport began for me as something that brought so much joy to me. And I think sometimes reminding yourself of that is sort of a really good leveling moment, because it's so easy to get carried away and the emotional moments or the really difficult times. I think perspective is important. And then the other thing I've learned is, you know, to try and do it. I don't know, how do I word this? I think to try and understand what's morally important to you and try and always choose to make the little decisions every day that are true to what you believe to be the best thing to do. And I think, you know, in sport you can never control everything. Sometimes you're going to make mistakes, you're going to play badly, you're going to do things that cost goals, you're going to miss goals, like everything is possible, get injured. You can't control all those things, but you can control a lot in your day that gives you the best chance to limit those, or at least if they happen, you can have peace and go, I did everything today and it was a bad moment.
Yeah. You talked about emotional moments there. How do you reflect on or what have been some of the most emotional moments for you in the game to date? You've had a few.
I've had a few. Yeah. I think I'm always, in those moments, I'm always very, in the actual moment, I almost feel a little bit emotionless.
Right.
And I put on that hat of, you need to make sure everyone else is all right.
Yeah.
And so when I look back on the times when you probably would expect those to be the most emotional ones, for me, they're the moments when I've just gone quite, almost like hard shell, just being like, protect everyone else. And or I'm like the person that needs to like reassure people that we're all right. And I'm probably not very good at actually like unraveling the emotions of it. That's not one of my strengths.
Yeah. So when does that come down though? Because it all has to come out at some point.
No.
So I know, like, I've seen you after a game and you do go into that protection mode where you just go, you know, and you have to do what needs done and say what needs said. But how do you manage to decompress? And because you have to get that off your shoulders, right?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Normally what happens is I think I'm fine until I'm like really not fine. And then I'm like, I don't know where this has come from. And then someone will be like, well, let's look back at the last 6 months. So that's normally how that happens. I think just to that, I think I've at different points in my career, I've you know, there's a sports psychologist, whether that's working with a club or an mm-hmm. individual, that's someone who I think has become a person that's really important. And also, you know, it's always good to have family, mm-hmm. to you have a person or more than one person who you can sort of offload, who mm-hmm. understands it and you can get out. I think I normally do sort of try and release those emotional moments through that, but I normally take it away from within the football environment and probably deal with it, not privately in the sense of just myself, but I don't typically offload when I feel probably emotionally drained within mm-hmm. the environment I'm in. And I think that's just, you know, everyone has their own ways, and that's just the way I find the easiest and best way for me.
Yeah, and I think that's important as well for people to remember, like, everyone copes differently. And that's the thing about this squad as well. There are so many different characters and types of people, mm-hmm. and you can see, even within the leadership group, lots of a real mix of people and the way that they handle things. And I suppose that you kind of learn that about each other as well, don't you? When one needs picked up, when one needs, like, a wee bit of, you know, whatever it is, an arm around the shoulder or whatever. But there are a lot of leaders in this team.
Yeah.
You're the captain, but you're surrounded by a lot of strong women.
Yeah, and I think that is really important, because also as well, you know, there are different types of people, and we actually have I think we've got a great team. There's lots of littler groups of, you know, people who are really good friends, mm-hmm. like really good friends, you know, go on holiday in the summer, mm-hmm. or, you know, spend time together outside of camp. And I think that's really nice too, but it also allows us to then have a broader group of people as mm-hmm. within that leadership group, to make sure that across the whole squad, there's sort of some, at least one person in that leadership group that everyone in the whole team feels that they can go to. So mm-hmm. if there's something that needs, you know, to get out or be spoken about or discussed, there's an avenue and a channel for everyone to mm-hmm. feel like they've got space for that. And I think that's really important, because of course it'd be unreasonable to think that mm-hmm. one or two people can be that for the whole team. You know, there's just, as you say, different types of people deal with things differently, different ages.
And different environments as well, because you know, we're here in a Scotland context, mm-hmm. but you've been in America, you're obviously in WSL now. And how much do you take from each of those environments? Because I would imagine each of them is really different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously you can speak from experience, but I would imagine the culture and environment in America is very different.
Very, very.
How much did you take from that as a player?
I think that's probably been the biggest life learning curve for me. Mm-hmm. It opened my eyes, on a people level, opened my eyes to so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think in America they do a much better job of allowing people to be who they want to be, in mm-hmm. the sense of, I just feel like the diversity of the people I met was just so much broader. Yeah. I think there's a lot of pressure in this country, well, not in Spain, in the UK, but I think in the UK, to very much fit in.
Yeah.
And so, I think that was a huge lesson for me. And just even the culturally, it's different. The way they live, I think they're a lot more active and outdoors, and different things you can go and do in your free time. And I absolutely love my time in the US and in Australia. The biggest thing, I think, still is you meet some amazing people. Yeah. It's the people you remember. I had great footballing experience too. Learned so much in that capacity, but it's absolutely on a people level, that's the best mm-hmm. bit about it.
Do you think that shaped a lot of the sort of person, player, kind of leader that you've become that time over there?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think I got the chance to play with some amazing players that have achieved some of the best things in the game. So naturally you learn a lot from them on and off the pitch. But it wasn't just necessarily the ones, sort of the higher profile ones that you expect that. I think I met so many people, but there was just so many great characters that, mm-hmm. again, going back to, you literally can learn from everybody. And mm-hmm. It was the most valuable thing and most amazing thing I've done.
Yeah, and you've had so many experiences, and we've touched on some of them already, but I suppose, do you now think about your legacy and what you're handing over and what you're doing, or are you still just kind of living in the moment without kind of having that? Is it a little bit of both?
There's maybe a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily see it as the legacy. Mm-hmm. I feel like someone else has to say that. Maybe.
Right, okay.
I don't know. maybe that's just like a lot. Yeah,
I get what you mean. Like, it maybe sounds a bit grand for what you think.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I understand that.
I try and live in the moment because I want to play at the highest level for as long as I can, and I work really hard to do that day to day at the club. And when I come here, for someone who's been playing the game for the last 16, 17 years, in terms of senior level football, I don't think it would be impossible to have played that long and, you know, been professional for the last 10 years without having an understanding that you're changing the game. You know, the game is continually evolving, and being a part of that and taking responsibility for that, of course, is having an impact. And I think you get to a point where, of course, you absolutely take pride in that, and you try and do everything you can to realise that. So that's probably like the legacy part, as you put it. But to me, I just think that also ties into me just trying to do the best I can every single day for me, and also trying to do the best I can every single day for the team that I'm part of.
And just kind of on that, you know, you talked about playing as long as possible at the highest level possible. How much has that changed as you've gone through your career? Like, how much harder has that gotten? Like, do you feel like you have to put more of a shift in now, or like, how does that, like, genuinely?
The body definitely hurts more now. Yeah, I think the level of the game now compared to where it was, you know, even sort of 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it's evolving really, really quickly, really quickly. And now you're seeing players come through that have been a part of academies since they were, you know, 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
So the exposure they've had to the game, the training, that technical detail that they've got, and the physical preparation they've had through those sort of development years, that's only going to continue to have a massive impact on how the game continues to develop. So there's no doubt the game today is at a high level. I think through my whole career, though, based on what's been possible at the time, I'm just a competitive person. Mm-hmm. Like, I've just always wanted to give my all, and that sort of, you know, it was the same when I was doing my school exams. I always wanted to get good grades and had to work hard for that. Like, I was lucky I had a sporty year when I was at school. Like, we wanted to win the netball tournament, and like, I was competitive with literally absolutely everything. Like, when we play Scrabble on Christmas Day at home, like, I want to win. So I think I only know to do things at 100%.
Yeah. And that's part of that competition that's obviously just in you, though. And I suppose when you talked about the young girls coming through now, like, how much does it, you know, how much do you get out of seeing the development? Like you say, it's growing so quickly now.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly in Scotland, it's only going to grow quicker and quicker, I think, year on year. When you look back at that now and you see the opportunities and the pathways and, you know, even the 17s and 19s just now for us, there's some really amazing, exciting players. They're doing really, really well. The future's pretty bright.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. I think it was the 19s that were away last week. Some really brilliant results. And yeah, I absolutely love that, because I want us to be a nation that's at as many big tournaments as is possible in the future. And I think when you see the young players coming through, you see the optimism of just their ability, their technical ability. Even sort of recent players that have broke into the senior team, Emma and Kirsty especially, just being those younger players, and you just see the technique they have and the skill level. It genuinely is so exciting, because you know that's come about because of the evolution of the game. That's come about because there's now opportunities for young girls who have this ability to make the most of it and thrive in it. So, I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, especially players that you see. And I think the young players that are in the squads just now can see the pathway, they can see the evolution and the possibilities that are there, which is just so important, like you say, for players like Emma and Kirsty and all the Emma and Kirsties around the country that are still to be discovered. And I think you see that as well, as, you know, we've seen Caroline out doing a camp last week, 150 kids out at it, you know, like, wanting to get involved and looking up to you guys. And that must be really pleasing for you on a match day as well, when you're seeing all the boys and girls out there coming out to support you. How much does that mean when you're out there? Can you take that in?
I think it's hard to take it in, because it's sometimes still a bit surreal that it is. It has kind of happened. Mm-hmm. I genuinely can remember, you know, this camp, especially this time of year, for a long time when I first joined the squad, we used to go to Cyprus, and the only people that came to watch were if people's parents maybe were able to come out, yeah. Got a little bit of time off. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just really cool. And I think, you know, there is really no bar, there's no ceiling, mm-hmm. I think. And I think what's also become one of the really exciting things more recently is that demographic of fans is just getting bigger and bigger. And,
yeah.
You know, I think it goes back to as well, we want to be inclusive. And I mm-hmm. think it's brilliant to just, now people are becoming more aware of it. There's more visibility. There's more people want to get a little part of it in whatever, mm-hmm. whatever way they can. And again, it goes back to what sport is. You know, it's something that at the end of the day brings joy in so many mm-hmm. different levels to so many people. And yes, that's why we love it.
To kind of wrap this up, when we started out talking about the theme of International Women's Day, and one of the quotes that caught my eye this year, and it is kind of sums it all up for me, is when women aren't present, we must ask, if not, why not? When women are discriminated against, we must call out poor practice. When the treatment of women is not equitable, we must take action. And we must do this each and every time. Did you take all that in?
I did.
Right?
I think we should end on that. I don't think I can say anything more more uplifting.
yeah, like, what do they mean to you? I know you've just heard them for the first time. They're delivered impeccably.
Very, yes, beautiful.
Okay, but what, seriously though, like,
yeah.
You know, it is a quote that is, it feels like it hits a lot of different levels, a lot of different mm-hmm. marks. What do you take from that?
Me personally, I think it's reassurance that the work that we have done and the sort of the battles that, you know, you faced, or maybe the hurdles you've had to climb over, are worth it. And just other people have probably fought them before you in the same or different environments, different capacities. But I know that I've been given opportunities where I've been in a role that, you know, you're either a leader or you maybe have greater responsibility to sort of speak up and stand up for certain things. And it's not always easy. In fact, often it is. It's the opposite of that. Almost always it isn't easy, and that's why it can be so important to do it. But because of that, I think just sometimes hearing those words are an important reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point to end it, actually. Rachel, it's been a pleasure, as
Thank
always.
You very much.